Good morning. You feel loved this morning? I do. I sang those songs. And tell somebody next door to you that you're loved by God. You're special. Thank you for coming. Just say that to one another. You're loved by God. You're special. Thank you for coming. Amen. Well, I spoke here the first Sunday in June about John 9, about going from human thinking to divine motivation. And people like me, stubborn Dutch, set in their ways. Chinese are not that way, but that's my background. They need to be moved from human thinking to divine motivation to do what God wants us to do, to move in this world. To see and move at the hands of Jesus and the feet of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. And that was John 9. And I shared some experiences. I've been working with international students for 16 years. And so that started in Kamloops and then moved here 7 years ago because God is mighty. He moves the mountains and he even gave us a home in Kamloops in Vancouver, believe it or not, for $350 a month rent in Port Coquitlam. Can God move the mountains? I'm a missionary. How could I live in Vancouver? It's too expensive. But God opened the doors. And today we have seen God move in UBC and SFU and Langara and Douglas and other places to bring students from darkness to light. And so they have come here. And I know there's pictures in your hallway. And I listened to your history that you used to have hundreds of students from Hong Kong coming here. And you minister to them, and many of them came to Christ, and some of them are serving full time. Thank you for opening your hearts and your home to those students. But then Hong Kong kind of died out, and people from mainland China came, and from other countries. And now we don't have so many international students here from Hong Kong or from other countries. But I've been pleading, and I've been challenging churches, and by God's grace, there are now young people almost every month coming to Christ. And the churches are getting involved. And we can't do it without the church. Because these people need Jesus too. That are coming from these other countries. And so that's part of what I'm doing. And I know Pastor Norm, your senior pastor, has been asking if we can kind of partner together and maybe see something happen here with international students. I serve as a consultant. I started the ministry. We have workers now in these different schools and we have clubs and we have at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, older people like you and like me. I'm 72 this year. We open our houses to international students. Even today, my wife yesterday was cooking, buying food from the Middle Eastern restaurants and cooking food for two people coming to parents of two students coming to our house tonight from Iran. Muslims, they have never been in a Canadian home before, but the kids know us, their daughter and their son-in-law know us. They call us grandpa and grandma, and they want to bring their parents to my home tonight to show them God's love. That's what we want to do, and that's what we're doing today, this afternoon. Meantime, I just took a trip to Alberta, went through the fires. No, the smoke. I didn't go through the fires. I went through the smoke. And I went to Alberta. That's where I grew up. We had family reunion. We also visited some of our students that I baptized all the way in Fort McMurray. Can you believe it? Why would I ever even go to Fort McMurray? We had a Chinese student from Tianjin there who lived in my home for 8 months, who got baptized in Kamloops. She's like my daughter, and she has a three-month-old daughter as well. She's married, goes to the Fort McMurray Alliance Church. A year ago, she was driven out of Fort McMurray like everybody else. And I was going to Fraserlands, helping them for 1 year with evangelism. And they phoned me from Edmonton. We're sleeping on the floor. We're refugees. We're evacuees. We think your bed is better. We're coming over. And so they came over for a week. And I took them to Fraserlands that Sunday. And that Sunday, they were praying for Fort McMurray. Isn't that cool? And they were raising money for Fort McMurray. And I was able to introduce this couple, and we're looking after them. So they said, nobody visits us here. Our friends in Vancouver and Calgary said, you have to come here. They will never go to Fort McMurray, but we went there. And so we went to travel 5,000 kilometers all over Alberta and had a family reunion. And we just came back this week, Monday, driving through the smoke and through Banff that was just hit by also a fire. And so we need to pray for these people. So this morning, our passage is based on 2 Kings chapter 5. And it's called One Small Act. And we're looking at small acts. But before we do that, I just want to just give you an introduction from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, after chapter 11, Paul gives all the heroes, all these hero great people like Abraham and David and Noah. And he talks about these great heroes of the faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about that we are in a race. We're in a race. He said, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And talks about how much Jesus suffered. And in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And he encourages these people that were struggling, that were going through persecution, that were fleeing for their lives. And he's saying, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, and we have a race to run. Even though there's many obstacles and many divisions and many problems in our society with we don't know what's going to happen in the future in our society. Let's just look around in the news, see the fires that hit BC and all that kind of stuff. And we just don't know what our future is. Think of the uncertainty that people were in Williams Lake and all these other places. But he says, let us not grow weary and lose heart. Let us look to Jesus. And so he's telling these people, these new Christians, that Jesus is our highest motivation. He's our pattern. He's our example. And we need to fix our eyes on him if we're going to become more like Jesus and do what Jesus wants us to do. And none of us have suffered like Jesus has suffered. And so even at my age of 72, I say, I need to press on. I need to press on in the race. But then he's talking about these witnesses. And he says in one place in that passage, we don't have time to tell you about all these other heroes. So in this race, we got these witnesses cheering us on. Just like what happens in Vancouver when there's a race, there's lots of people that are on the bystands, family members, children, cheering on people in the race. And so we have people cheering us on from the scripture. And today we're going to talk about a little servant girl. And we don't even know anything about her. We don't even know her name. We don't know much about her. But she's one of those girls that we can learn something from. And so our passage this morning deals with that. And I needed a little servant girl today. And so I just grabbed one this morning, found her on the street, Kalina. And so I said, hey, I need a little servant girl because I want you to bring some feeling and read this paragraph for us of what it must mean for that little servant girl to do what she did that day in 2 Kings chapter 5. Kalina, come on up. And you need a mic. Which one? There it is. You're bold and brave, just like that little girl in 2 Kings 5.
When I first came to the house of my master Naaman, I was very unhappy. I had grown up in Samaria, the capital of Israel. Then I was forced into slavery in a house in a strange land. I just had to learn to make the best of it. Fortunately, my mistress was very nice, and she took good care of us. My master was different. In my country, he would have been an outcast. In his country, he could rise in rank, but people still rejected him. All the servants worried about his health and took care of him. I wanted to help him too, but I felt helpless. Then I got an idea, so one day I had the courage to say, if only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. What can you learn from my experience?
Thank you.
This passage in God's word is given to us because it's an example that a small act with a small girl can make a difference in the life of one person who is one of the highest people in the country. Maybe I can just read that passage as well from God's Word, just the first three verses. And there's an outline in your bulletin, so you can follow, you can use that as well. Now Nahum, commander of the army of the king of Assyria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Nahum's wife. And then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he could heal him of his leprosy." So we don't know much about this girl, but she's in a strange country and she's living with a strange family, a strange culture, and she's probably lonely because she's away from her family, a slave. She's missing her family. She could be bitter. She could be sad. She could be depressed. I was just with them Friday night at the Focus Club at UBC, and there was just a young student from China. And she was in our group. She's a Christian. But she said, "Bert, I don't know if I can stay in Canada. My student visa has expired. And I'm just not sure about my future. And I can get very depressed. And especially when I'm lonely. And then I need someone to call. I need to talk to someone." And she did. She talked to all of us in that little small group. And we prayed for her. And we lifted her up. And you know, and one little word that we say to someone, one little hug that we give to someone. Even there's an example in this book that's written by stories of international students, is about a hug that heals. And this girl had gone to church for the very first time in China. And Christianity was totally foreign and strange. And she said, "I have never been hugged. Oh God, if someone hugs me today, that will be a sign that this is from God and that God is here." And the pastor's wife at the end of the service went to her, talked to her, and says, "Can I hug you? Can I hug you?" Wow. I did a lot of hugging when I was in Alberta with my family, with my friends. And so it's just this little story, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I have a couple of those books. And these books, one of the things I like about them is that how one person can affect another person. How one person can affect another person in a small way. And so here is, maybe you can just throw on the next slide. It's a quote from Martin Luther King. "Everyone can be great because anyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love." We said everyone needs compassion. It's one of the songs we sang this morning. Everyone needs that. And yet how many of them people and international students, that there are many thousands that are coming here in September. Are we going to make a difference in their lives with compassion, with opening our hearts? You know, I was struggling today because when I was in Alberta, a new girl from Korea starts writing to me, says, "I got your email from my teacher." Her teacher gives my email to everybody. It's going all over Korea. And she said, "And I'm coming to Vancouver today, this morning on this flight at 9:10 in the morning." And she says, "I need a place to stay. And I heard that you help international students." I was in Alberta. And I was getting this email, and I was sending emails out to everybody from New West Church, my church, Westwood Alliance, Fraser Lands Alliance, because I've been there for 1 year. I know people that maybe can help her find a place. And finally, after a lot of praying, some girl, Rebecca Toe, says, "I will take this girl in. I love international students. I want to help them." And so she found a place. I found out I was speaking this Sunday. I can't be at the airport and speak here. So two of my friends that love international students, one Veet, who was here last couple months ago from Russia, they have gone to the airport to pick her up, to welcome her here. And they might come here at the end of the service, where it just depends on when they arrive. But we want to welcome them, and we want to show God's love to them. And so here, this little story, Let me just, Mark was walking home from school one day when he noticed the boy ahead of him had tripped and dropped all his books he was carrying, along with two sweaters, a baseball bat, and a glove, and a small tape recorder. Mark, that's no cell phone then, a couple of years ago, tape recorder. Mark knelt down and helped the boy pick up the scattered articles. Says they were going in the same way. He helped to carry part of the burden. As they walked, Mark discovered the boy's name was Bill, that he loved video games, baseball, and history, that he was having a lot of trouble with other subjects, and that he had just broken up with his girlfriend. They arrived at Bill's home first, and Mark was invited in for a Coke to watch some television. That afternoon passed pleasantly with a few laughs and some shared small talk, and then Mark went home. They continued to see each other around school, had lunch together once or twice, and then they both graduated from junior high school. They ended up in the same high school where they had brief contacts over the years. Finally, the long-awaited senior year came 3 years out, and 3 years, weeks before graduation, Bill asked Mark if they could talk. Bill reminded him of the day years ago when they first met. "Do you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day?" asked Bill. "You see, I cleaned up my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I had stored away some of my mother's sleeping pills, and I was going home to commit suicide. But after we spent some time together laughing and talking, I realized that if I had killed myself, I would have missed that time and so many others that might follow. So you see, Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you did a lot more. You saved my life. You saved my life." And, you know, God is in the process of saving lives from darkness to light. And that's our passion, because it's a passion of Jesus. And so let's look at this passage a bit more from this little girl in 2 Kings chapter 5. We know that she was a slave. We know that she probably felt helpless. We know some of the, but I just look at her act. I have an outline in your bulletin. You can fill in some blanks there. The servant girl is speaking with complete confidence, although what she did on that day was an everyday matter, but it wasn't. She could have remained silent and safely anonymous, but instead she spoke up to Nahum's wife. It was a remarkable act. Why? This girl is saying, "I acted even though I was small." Sometimes we think, well, look at the girl situation. She was a slave. She was the lowest anyone could be in a social standing. She was an outsider. She was a Jew living in Syria. She was young. Why would a powerful leader listen to her? She was a female working in a male-dominated culture. She had nothing going for her. No power, no position, no possessions. But she had her faith. And that was enough. As God told the Apostle Paul centuries later, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." When I started working with international students, I felt, what can I do? I can't even put on the computer. And these guys are experts in computer science. Actually, the people coming to my house today, he's a PhD in computer science. His wife has a master's degree in computer science. And I can hardly put dirt on the computer. I was forced into the iPad by my son. Now I can send out emails. I mean, I don't know anything about their subjects, but I can show them God's love. I can take them to Sunshine Coast or to Stanley Park or someplace. So I'm so old. I'm 72. What can I do? But you know, this lady in Fort McMurray and her husband and her mother who was there from China, they treated me like royalty. They treated me like royalty. Because I have helped her to become a Christian. I have baptized her. She's my daughter. And so I just am so blessed. So the second point, she acted though she was small. The second point is that she acted even though what she could do was small. What could she do? She's not a physician. Nahum had access to the best physicians in the country. He probably tried every available treatment for leprosy. He probably spent a lot of money. Nothing worked. In the middle of all that activity, what can a servant girl do? What she could do was very small for her. After all, she couldn't heal him, nor she could ease his pain. All she could do was make a suggestion to his mistress. Yet she didn't let the seemingly insignificance of that act stop her. Instead of being discouraged by what she couldn't do, she did what she could do. I remember speaking to a young adults group in the Burnaby Alliance with my best friend from China, from Shandong, whose name was Rocky. And he had moved from Kamloops to Vancouver. And I was worried that he was not a Christian yet. I was worried that he would, and I had spent a lot of time with him. And I was worried that he would be lost in Vancouver. And I got to speak Saturday night at the College and Career. And I talked about international students. And he gave his testimony. And then the young people said, "We're Chinese, but we're born in Canada. We don't speak Mandarin. We don't even know anything about that culture. Because we're Canadians. We're into pizza and other kinds of stuff. So we can't really reach people like Rocky." And Rocky says, "You're wrong. You're wrong. I don't need Mandarin. I need English. My teacher said if my English doesn't improve, I will fail. You guys can help me with my English. And I need friends. And I need someone who can correct my papers." Ah, he became part of that fellowship. And they included him. And he saw Jesus. They had to open their eyes to see that they could reach these people from mainland China. Amen? God, so she acted though she was very small. And the last thing of this action that we want to see portrayed this morning, she acted even though the stakes were not small. What do you think would happen if she gave this information and the general took that big risk to go to Samaria, to this other country, and then he would be let down and he would not be healed and he would come back looking foolish? Oh, she would be in trouble, wouldn't she? She would be in big trouble when she said that there's a prophet in Samaria that can heal her. And that just about happened. They're almost, if you read the rest of the story, you find out that this general went to the king and said, "I heard that you can heal me." And this king just tore his clothes and he thought he was picking a fight with him. And finally somebody said, "I think you should go to the prophet." And so the story goes on that he went to that prophet and he finally did what the prophet asked him. And God healed this man. But this little girl took a big risk. She took a big risk. And so we need to take risks if we're going to reach this world for Christ. We need to open up our homes. We need to have people in our homes that maybe we're not comfortable with. We need to show them God's love. And so it's recorded that Nahum's skin was restored that day. It became like a little child. More important, his faith was changed. In that moment, he realized that God was God, and he sought to worship God the rest of his life. One small person doing a small act made a big difference in his life. I can give you hundreds of illustrations and examples of how little things that you do. My church in Westwood Alliance, they just serve food and to a church in Friday night, UCBC, a small Mandarin-speaking church. They brought food for the students there. The students enjoy that food. The church knows how important it is, how much important food is for students. And so there's so many ways that we can help. I want you to listen to another little girl. She's here with me this morning, Martina, but she's not so little. She graduated from Langara, comes from Hangzhou, and Suzhou. Come on up here. Oh, there you got your mic. And I want you to share how little things make a big difference in your life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Martina from China. I've been here for 3 years, and I was a student in Langara, and now I am an early childhood educator in a daycare. And in this April, I become a Christian. I was baptized by birth in Friesland Church. And this big thing, becoming a Christian, because of a small action of my friend, Viet. Last October, he asked me, "Do you want to go to church with me?" Okay, I'm free. Why not? Then I went with him. And during the service, while listening to the worship song, and I cried a lot, but I didn't know why. And he said, "Oh, God is close to you." Yeah. Okay. But I didn't think too much about that. And later, then he asked me, "Do you want to join my Bible study group?" I say, "Okay, I'm interested in Bible. So yeah, I can go with you." Then I went to every time, And after several lessons, and the more I learned and the more I was curious about that. And around like November, two of my friends get baptized in Fraser Land Church, and I went there. And suddenly I had a question. I say, how come a person, an unbeliever, become a Christian? How the brain like change their mind? And I asked my teacher in Bible study, and he didn't answer my question directly. And he asked me, do you believe God? I said, yes. Because when I was young, I always think like something above us. And then he asked me, do you believe Jesus? I say yes. Because after I learned the Bible study, I know this is part of history. This is real. Then he asked me, do you believe the word? I say yes, because through the Bible study, I those words very make sense to me. Then he say, you're already a Christian. So, wow. I'm a Christian already. Now I'm very happy. And, but if my friend V, he didn't ask me to go to church, then the following would be happened. And, in this May, I went back China, and I still had the Bible study through Skype in China. So I went to a coffee shop and I had a Bible study, and a girl sat beside me, and she was curious. Oh, you speak English in front of the iPad. What are you doing? I say, oh, it's my Bible study. Oh, Bible. I am interested in Bible. Say, oh, great. Do you know anything about that? Then we have a small topic, small conversation. And then I know she's not a believer yet, but she's interested in that. Then I give her my number and we connect later. And I say, I can send you the Bible. If you want English, I can give you English. If you want the Chinese, I can give you Chinese. Yes. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. I really love that. Okay. Then I will send to her. So actually, this is also a small action to her. I don't know what happened later with her, but at least I did something, small things for her, I think. So I hope it can make her life a big difference. And, I hope, my action can help her to have a new spiritual life. And I hope the seed is going to her heart, as same as God's word going to my heart. And if the seed in our heart, even if it's small, one day it will sprout, grow, and become a big tree. Thank you. Thank you.
That seed, or that spark is spreading, and she is lighting a fire. And I thought of that song today. We used to sing it in campfires years ago. Maybe young people don't sing it today. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. It only takes a spark, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. And I thought of these fires in British Columbia, and I know some of them were caused by man with just a spark, just a cigarette. Because in 2003, in Kamloops, we were surrounded by fires, and one small town got wiped out. It was in the north of Kamloops, Barrie. I was living there, and eventually somebody confessed, I am the volunteer fireman of Barrie, and I was on top of a roof fixing it, and I threw my cigarette in the yard, and it lighted a fire, and we couldn't stop it, and that was one of the biggest fires. It destroyed a whole town. This fireman confessed. He was fireman to put out fires. He caused it, and it destroyed a whole town. It caused millions of dollars of damage, and the fireman got charged about $3,000 or $4,000. But a fire can also heal. It can provide warmth when you're cold, and it can save your life as well. And so that there is the two possibilities, one can for destruction and one for healing and salvation. And so the next, just the concluding points of this message of the servant's girl, words of encouragement. She's one of those witnesses from the Old Testament. She's cheering us in the race. What is she asking us to do? If you want to make a big difference, what are you to do? Two or three things. Be confident. Be confident. My master listened to me because I believed in what I told him. She shared right in China at a coffee shop. The plant of the seed, because somebody was listening. There are times when I have my badge on and I, in the coffee shops, and people actually start talking to me. They see me and what I'm doing. I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, or I'm talking to someone else, and they come and they say, what are you doing? What do you represent? Even in the store, sometimes people ask me, what am I doing? And I get chances to talk and to share. You got to be confident. We have a great God. We sang that. There's nothing he can't do. Live like you believe it. If you do, it'll make a difference. She must have been frightened, but she overcame her fear with the power of the Holy Spirit when she said those words that day. Secondly, if you want her words to us today, if you want to make a big difference, be credible. Be credible. I never would have had the courage to speak up if my service had not been pleasing to my master's wife. What if she created a mess instead of cleaned up? What if she didn't do her jobs properly? Would her master and mistress listen to this girl? No, they would have been angry at her. But she showed by her example and her life that she was pleasing to her master. People always pay more attention to how you live than what you say. We have a lot of these older people coming from China now with their children, especially mothers. There's about 400 of them in the Coquitlam area. One of them came to our church because she was looking for a place for her child and making friends. Her name was Helen. And one day, and that's about a year and a half ago, last year at Thanksgiving time, the time came. She had given her life to Christ, and her daughter and now her husband flew in from China. They all got baptized together. But before that, they got baptized. Helen said, Bert, I have to entertain my husband's parents and his two sisters and the husband's parents. They are nothing but negative, and they always find fault with what I do. They are retired. They have nothing else to do but criticize. And they're coming, and I have to look after them for 2 weeks. I don't know how I can handle it. And we prayed for her. She asked for prayer. The two sisters and the parents had never been in Canada before. And I picked them up at the airport. They came to the baptism. It was Thanksgiving. My wife decided to do a big Thanksgiving dinner for this family and some other people from our small group. And I took them out for 2 days to Squamish and to Stanley Park. And everywhere I had to stand between the husband and the father and the mother from China because they were so proud they had a white guy beside them. They were so proud. And he did all this for free, and he was an expert. Wow. They were so proud. And then when they got to the baptism, they had never saw that before, and they had always been negative on Christianity. They said to their son, we're very proud of you today. We're proud of you. And then they came to our home for Thanksgiving. We went around, and the son says to my wife, this is the first time I've seen my father and mother smiling. They're smiling. They went back to China different because they saw the love that we shared with them. But that took time and effort to do that to people that didn't even speak English. Everything had to be done in translation. But they saw it, and they were moved. And the son says, who got baptized, he said, now I have hope for my parents. I have hope for my two sisters because they saw the people that they were involved with here. You got to be credible. Make a difference, be credible. That next point on C is, if you want to make a big difference, speak to people's felt needs. Felt needs. If a person is sick, or a person depressed like that girl at university this week, we prayed for her. We lifted her up. We comforted her. We helped them in their felt needs. Students are lonely. Students are away from their home. They miss their family. They're homesick. We become part of their family. We become part of their family. So many, now these children of mine from China and Japan, they're getting married. Now they have children. I'm getting to be grandparents of Chinese, Vietnamese, Africans. My family is growing. Pray for me. It's hard to keep up. But I have a wonderful family But we must speak to people's needs. People, everyone needs hope. Everyone needs compassion. They need help. Even powerful people like my master, this girl would be saying. And if we desire, if we want to help them, then we need to be with them. We need to share with them. People get discouraged. They feel defeated. Many of these students, by the time Christmas rolls around, if they're coming in December, they want to go back home because they just feel alienated. They feel strange. They don't feel connected, and they struggle with their English. We can make a difference. God brought them here for a reason. Speak to people's felt needs. You know, two Koreans came from Korea 2 months ago. Their leader who gave me the email says, I'm just so sad because these two Koreans, they don't want anything to do with church and focus club that you're leading. They're not interested. But you know, I contacted them. I said, I could pick you up at the airport. They said, could you? I picked them up at the airport. And then they said, we want to go to the Sunshine Coast with you. That's the first time they went to church. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I sent them another email. There's a big community day at Fraserlands. I says, there's a big party. My wife and I will be there. Will you come? They came. That's the first time they came to church. They met people like Josh and people that you know. They met them and they felt welcome. And I hope they go back. They saw the family of God. The last point we have this morning, if you want to make a big difference, don't be afraid to do something, even if it seems small. Don't be afraid to do something, even if it feels, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only God knows how great an impact a small act can make. Only God can know that seed that Martina spread in China will grow because she gave them the word of God. And so we can make a big difference with small things. It can be so small. It can just be invitations. Invitation. Someone invited her to church. Someone invited her to study the Bible. But if we want to do that, we have to get outside of our comfort zone. This girl was outside of her comfort zone. She was in a strange country. She was in a strange land. But your love overcomes all those things. True love. So the girl, how should we close this message this morning? I'd like to just give this closing from a poem that I picked up, if I can find it. It's up to you. It's up to you. One song can spark a moment. One flower can wake a dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clasp lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out the darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope will raise our spirits. One touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One life can make the difference. You see, it's up to you. This last quote I close with, I shall pass this way, but once. Any good that I can do, or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. We have only the opportunity for today. As I'm getting older, I don't know how long I can keep with my energy. People are amazed. We took a, you know, with a Japanese girl just coming in the middle. She was just visiting again. She's not a Christian. She had come to our Bible studies in Vancouver. And she said, I want to visit my friends. And she said, what are you doing? I says, I'm going to the Sunshine Coast on June the 17th. And then the next week I'm going to Alberta. So I won't have much time with you. She said, can I go to the Sunshine Coast? I will book my ticket the day before. Please save me a seat. I said, yes, you can come. I said, I'm going to Edmonton. She says, I have friends in Edmonton called Daniel Kim. I says, I know them. They're my friends. I have to see them. I'm going to have lunch with them. Can you take me to Edmonton too? I says, if you're willing to spend 2 days in Kamloops with us on the journey. So she went with us all the way to Edmonton. And this week she's leaving. She's in Vancouver. She's staying with us. We're praying that she open her heart to Christ. She's seen so much of God's love. That's what it takes. It was a joy for us to go with her on that trip. Let's close in prayer this morning. There's a prayer there that's right on the overhead. And this prayer could be from this girl as one of our witnesses this morning, but also for me and from all of us. I ask that you give my friends understanding that no one is too small to make a big difference for you. Courage to say and do the little things that can impact other people's lives. And favor with big people whose lives can be changed by small acts of kindness. Lord, this little passage in the Old Testament is there for a reason, to show us how a little girl in a foreign country affected the highest general in the country and changed his life and drew him close to God, that he began to know that there was one God, the God who could heal, the God who could save, because a little girl had a strong faith and she had a light that was willing to be lit. She had a fire that was willing to be spread. And Lord, we pray as these fires have spread across BC because one person did something stupid or did something bad or made a mistake, we pray that the fires of God's Spirit will spread in our hearts to a needy world, to people around us. Lord, this week I'm helping our church move this family from Syria that we helped bring to this country, refugees. There's many opportunities that we face right in our own church. Little acts of kindness. May we spread those today by your grace and make a difference in people's lives. And then when perhaps as Pastor Norm and I discuss and pray how we can help this church get more involved with international students, then that'll be a great blessing to them. I pray you'll do it in your way, in your time. In Jesus' name, amen.